Welcome in District 42, Nebraska State Senator Mike Jacobson, joining us for our weekly legislative update. And Senator Jacobson, good to see you back in the studio this morning, able to come back to the district with, was it a four-day weekend? You guys were off Friday too, right?
Four-day weekend, and of course we were in, and we stayed in Lincoln over the for Mother's Day on Sunday with the kids down there, and then came back last night, and I've got board meetings today, and head back to Lincoln tonight, and hit it early tomorrow morning. I got my first meeting tomorrow morning's at 7 a.m.
Oh boy, bright and early.
Yeah.
So, Senator Jacobson, let's talk about the last week in the Nebraska legislature. Well, actually, back it up 2 weeks. Perkins County Canal Project was on the docket. We were just talking about that off the air for a few minutes.
Yes. Well, Perkins County Canal is in the budget. There were certainly some attempts to cut it back. I found it a little bit comical that Senator John Kavanaugh had been on the tour, went on the tour with me last September, and has always been a little bit of a skeptic, but I think probably the bigger issue was the fact that the governor wants to increase the capacity because it's not going to cost that much more to double the size. And so he was raising concerns about whether we could legally do that, and then as a result of that was suggesting that maybe we should take $150 million out of the package and reduce the amount that's being allocated to Perkins County Canal. Now, when I say what's kind of comical about it is the fact that he's been beating a drum that, well, there'll be significant cost overruns. So, gee, if you believe there's going to be significant cost overruns, then even if we cut it back to the 500 CFS capacity, it looks like we're going to need every nickel in it, so let's just leave it all there. So that was really just a game to, if you can cut. People are all looking at the dollars that are out there that are being allocated, and if you can carve some of those dollars up, well, then it might be spent somewhere else on the floor. Mm. So I might just add that there have been a lot of people talking about, oh, the legislature's getting carried away. They're doing all these tax cuts, and it's unsustainable, and this won't work, and what are we going to do? The state's going to be out of money. Well, I just want you to remember two things. Number one, if the money's there, somebody's going to spend it.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're going to spend it on anything, let's spend it on tax cuts, okay?
Right.
And so if we it's not even giving it back to the taxpayer. It's not taking it from the taxpayer to begin with. And that's what I tried to explain to people on the floor, that the huge surpluses that we've built have come from overtaxing the residents of Nebraska. And what we need to do now is we need to make adjustments so that we don't keep overtaxing them into the future. Now, we're not giving a big refund per se of this money. What we're doing is we're cutting back what we're going to charge in the future, and a lot of the dollars that are there today, $1 billion is going into the Education Future Fund, which is a fund that will be there to protect the commitments that we're making to public schools for additional funding, which will translate into lower property taxes because they'll be taking less from property taxes, getting more from the state. And we're also increasing the amount of the income tax refund, which has been going on for a few years now, and that number will continue to climb to give you a rebate. So there's real property tax relief that's coming this year from the dollars that we've been able to accumulate from really what I would consider overtaxing our residents over the last few years.
And this had bipartisan support as well, the tax relief did.
It did. And I would tell you that everybody wants to divvy it out differently. There is a real push, and as you know, we have a very flat income tax system. You have people paying nothing, and then you've got people paying the lowest rate, but then at $26,000, you jump up to the highest tax bracket. So if you make more than $26,000, you're paying at the highest tax rate. So what the push is to try to lower the highest tax rate down to under 4%. And currently we're at about 6.85. And why are we wanting to lower the highest bracket back? And the answer is every state around Nebraska has a lower state income tax. Basically, if you look at Wyoming and South Dakota, theirs is at zero. Mm-hmm. The one that's closest to us is Iowa, and they have now are moving theirs to 3.99, and they're even talking about trying to lower it even lower. So the governor's goal is to get our highest rate to 3.99 to get it equal to what Iowa's doing, which is still higher than Kansas, higher than Colorado, higher than Wyoming, and higher than South Dakota. But if we want corporations and high-income individuals to not only locate here but stay here, income taxes are going to be a big part of what happens. I'd also tell you, though, from my standpoint and the rest of the rural senators, is we've insisted that any income tax cuts have to be met with equal amounts of property tax relief. And sure. So we're still holding everyone's feet to the fire on that, and that's why we're seeing the massive property tax savings.
Senator, let's talk a little bit about some of the activity, too, last week. Obviously, a lot of it centered on taxes, but also education was front and center last week as well, I believe.
Yes, we also brought the education bills, and there was a significant amount of discussion there. And I think it's important to note that, as I alluded to earlier, that currently I think Nebraska ranks 49th in terms of all the states, in terms of the amount of state aid that they give to public schools. And now, don't confuse that by the fact that our public schools are ranked in the lowest in terms of total revenue, because the offset to the fact that the state doesn't contribute as much to the public schools, the school districts make up the difference through property taxes. And that's why our property taxes are so high, is because roughly 50% of our property tax goes to public schools, because they have no way to fund their operations without that. So if the state gives more and they cap how much the public schools can grow their budgets without growth in student population, then they will be taking less in property taxes because they won't need the additional funding. So if you look in Nebraska, where I believe we're 49th in terms of what the state contributes, but I think we're 22nd in terms of how much spending goes on in our public schools. So that difference between how do you go from, if you're only getting 49th in funding and you're 22nd in spending, well, the difference is that's being generated from property taxes. And so we're trying to fix that through some of those actions there.
Senator Jacobson, what else occurred last week on the legislative front?
Well, we did move all the budget packages forward. There's three budget bills, and those all three move forward. We're required to have a budget done by day 80. Tomorrow will be day 78. So the plan is to bring all three of those bills back on final reading tomorrow and Wednesday, so that we'll have the budget approved before day 80.
Down into crunch time for that, though.
It usually happens that way, yes. But they do get what's referred to as the Speaker Major Proposals. And a Speaker Major Proposal, he's used them on the budget bills. And it allows him to reorder all motions and amendments, so you can't really do blocking and so on. So you can move fairly quickly. There'll be 2 hours of debate on each of the budget bills. Once they hit the final reading, you can't amend them. So because of that, what you saw coming from select file passage should be the final cut. So that means that the $10 million matching funds for the 4-H camp will make it to the finish line.
Awesome.
That means that Perkins County Canal, funded at the full amount, will make it to the finish line. It also means that the $1 billion going into the Education Future Fund will make it to the finish line. So those are major proposals by the governor.
And your priority bill was amended into the budget bill, right, too?
That's correct, yeah, LB 644. And LB 644 is the mega site bill. And what we didn't get direct funding attached to it this year, but what we got was the fund to be established. And so the way the fund is established, that we've also carved out that 15% of those dollars would come to west of the 100th Meridian. It would also come to a place, a town that has, or a county that has an Inland Port Authority. So, and a rail park. So,
and maybe the home of Buffalo Bill Cody.
And we left that part out.
How many more hints we need?
But it would allocate 15% of whatever funding goes into that in future times. And what I envisioned by requiring that to be in there for my prioritization was the rail park obviously is being built. We now have gotten, we're one of two locations that now have the Inland Port Authority designation, and as you well know, we're moving forward now to the county will be appointing members for that Inland Port Authority board who will actually operate the Inland Port Authority. So all of this will work very much together in that to get the Inland Port Authority, you also had to have access to air and within a certain distance, access to the interstate, access to rail. So what I see as we move forward is all of these pieces will work together with our industrial park south of North Platte. On this mega site, this could potentially allow you to bring funding to purchase a significant amount of additional acres, I would expect, near the industrial site today. And it would allow you to set up for a major manufacturer to come to our part of the state. And the reason that you would have the requirements for an Inland Port Authority is that would mean you also have the air, the rail, all of those pieces together, which is going to be very, very important to being able to grow something like that. So you can see it makes all kinds of sense in Lincoln and Omaha, but it makes sense in this part of the state, in west central Nebraska, because we bring those same attributes, and we can bring the people as well if you bring the jobs.
District 42, Nebraska State Senator Mike Jacobson joining us for our weekly legislative update here on KODY's Mugs in the Morning. And Senator, looking ahead to this week, you mentioned already there's going to be a lot of budget talks for Tuesday and Wednesday, but these are on their final reading and should move quickly in regards to comparison for the rest of the legislative session thus far.
Well, that's exactly right. And again, being Speaker Major Proposals really helps that, plus the fact that we're on final. It's 2 hours, and the question, will we even go 2 hours on final reading debate? I think, again, the main event tomorrow will be LB 574 coming back for its final reading. Many of you have probably read about the fact that Senator Hansen, through negotiations with the governor's office and many other players, brought an amendment, and Senator Hansen is the chairman of the Health and Human Services Committee, where this really came from. So what will happen is we will be referring back to committee LB 574 to select file. Won't be back to committee. It'll go back to select file for a specific amendment. The specific amendment will be to amend LB 574 to still ban any surgical procedures, but would allow puberty blockers and hormone treatments, but only under a strict protocol, that protocol to be established by the Department of Health and Human Services and the state medical director. So they will decide what the protocol would have to be, how many therapy sessions, what kind of waiting periods, all that, to have access to puberty blockers and hormone treatments. Then also, what will be amended in to LB 574 will be LB 626, which was the heartbeat bill. And of course, it failed by one vote. So what's happening on that is that that bill will be slightly amended to a 12-week ban as opposed to a 6-week ban. But as I mentioned earlier, the 12-week ban is technically a 10-week ban because this amended bill, the heartbeat bill said once you detect a heartbeat. Once you detect a heartbeat, is typically 6 weeks after conception. In this case, we're talking 12 weeks after the last menstrual cycle, which is what is measured when you do your doctor's visits. And so that really makes it more like a 12-week or a 10-week as opposed to a 6-week now. So we're moving out 4 weeks longer. So that's what that other parts of LB626 would stay intact. So the two would go together as one package. So LB574 would include both those issues. We believe we have the votes to get there.
That was my question. Are the votes there?
Well, let's just say that the parties that and the one party that tripped up 626 was very much involved in the negotiations and had signed off on what we came up with. So that's as far as I guess I want to go. I think,
can understand.
I'm optimistic that it will pass. But we'll learn tomorrow night, and I think the Rotunda will be a pretty busy place tomorrow.
Yeah, I would say so. And elsewhere, what else will this week entail for you and your colleagues, Senator Jacobson?
Well, it'll be now a dash to the end, because tomorrow is day 78, so we've got 12 legislative days left. And the last legislative day is used for override of gubernatorial vetoes. So we're going to be working awfully hard, and we'll still be going late night. And the plan is to really try to get as many bills that are currently on select file and on final reading to the finish line. We're still going to see a lot of mega bills. I'm looking at the bills that I've got still out there, and I see a good path forward. For several of them, I guess I would focus on micro-TIF and the mayoral voting tie-breaking. Those have been amended into LB 531, which is the committee priority for Urban Affairs Committee. I'm hopeful that that bill will get to the finish line this year. I really need micro-TIF to get passed because we really need to start utilizing it now.
And that's just the micro-TIF cleanup bill, right?
It is. It is. And I know that there are people that are waiting for that bill to pass before they apply.
Sure.
But I think we'll see significant usage of that. I think it's going to be a real opportunity for people throughout the district to be able to use that as a way to rehabilitate older properties and or even scrape and rebuild where the infrastructure is already there. The real cost to housing today is the cost of having to buy the land, put in all the infrastructure. You've got $75,000, $85,000 invested before you even start anything with the house. If you can take an older home, particularly here in North Platte, if you go up north of the tracks and you start buying older homes up there that already have the infrastructure in place, you could either significantly remodel or scrape and rebuild and get it done much more cost effectively, and you could use micro-TIF to really help lower that original cost. And so I think that's going to be a key part of the solution to building the housing for sustainable beef and the other housing requirements we're going to have once we get the Port Authority in full operation as well.
Yeah, it's going to be big throughout the state, big in the district, obviously. And Thursday, the City Council is going to have a special work session in regards to tax increment financing, among other things, but TIF will be on the docket. And obviously, you're a TIF expert, Senator Jacobson, after decades serving as the chairman of the CRA and now in your current role as a Nebraska State Senator.
Well, I've done a few of them, and I understand the process, so that becomes kind of interesting because there's not a lot of people in the legislature that are really up on the ins and outs on TIF, and so I find myself being the educator many times when it comes to that.
Anything else you'd like to add this morning, Senator Jacobson?
No, I think just stay tuned. It's been a long session, a lot of late nights. I can tell you that a lot of us are probably ready to, we want to get our bills across the finish line, then we want to call it quits for a year.
Sure.
So, but it'll stay busy on the off season. But again, I get a lot of emails from people. We try to respond to all of them that are in the district. And so if you got questions or concerns, let me know. I know a lot of people don't take the time to read the entire bill, and I don't blame you. And sometimes it's easier just to call and say, hey, what's going on here? And we're happy to answer those questions.
Senator Jacobson, as always, we appreciate the time. Safe travels back down to the Capitol here later today, and good luck for the rest of the week.
Thanks a lot, guys. See you later.